Thank you, praise team. Are you continuing to give thanks for drummers, guitarists, wind instruments? We got two keyboards that are just sitting unoccupied. And I believe that God wants there to be a lot of music and sound and praising Him. So if you know someone that has a talent and they're keeping it hid, expose them to Brother Richard and Sister Michelle so we can enlarge our music program and just come in and yell and shout and go romp 'em, stomp 'em, yay God.
Amen.
The men of valor are putting notes in your hands tonight. It is my desire that in this year of harvest, you are blessed so abundantly that you almost feel guilty about sharing it. I have done without, and I have done with plenty. Plenty is better. It ain't no fun doing without, but walking in God's abundance. So I continue to lift every one of you before God and pray, God, crown them with abundance. Cause your overflow to be upon them. In this year of harvest and abundance, let them taste of your goodness. God said He strengthens your hand to gain wealth. Well, Brother Jim, I got me a lotto ticket. So did 10 million other fools. But you got something better than a lotto ticket. You've got a promise of God. And God, give me inventions. Give me plans. Give me schemes. When you look at technology today, almost every day there's a new invention where there wasn't anything there, and all of a sudden there's a new invention. And people are making millions and billions of dollars because if you've got a good idea, you can make a good profit. Start asking God what's inside you. There's an individual right now making money because he had a flat tire. And he tried to use one of those scissor jacks to get his car up. And so he got to thinking about it, and he put a solenoid motor on it. And now for $29.95, you can buy a scissor jack that plugs into your cigarette lighter and lifts your car so you can change the tire. I had a flat on my GMC this week, and I had obtained a plug in your cigarette lighter impact wrench. Let me tell you, the bolts come off much easier with an impact wrench than they do with that stupid wrench they give you from Detroit. Those are knuckle busters. I don't like my knuckles busted. I like bzzz. What are you saying, Pastor? I didn't change the subject. I'm still... The occurrences in your life are opportunities for advancement. A gentleman had a breakdown in his car, and he reached in the glove box and grabbed his flashlight, and the batteries had gone dead. Because if it just lays in your glove box, they will. So he invented a flashlight that you squeeze, and a generator generates juice. It'll never run down. It'll never run out of power. You may burn the bulb out. So I got one in my car. I got tired of reaching for a flashlight and the batteries were dead. So now I've got one. I just squeeze it. Necessity is the mother of invention. Don't gripe about the crisis in your life. Look for ways to make a profit from it. Amen. You are just one idea away from prosperity. And in today's society, you don't even have to do the hard work. Just come up with the idea, put it on paper, apply for a patent, and somebody will come and buy you out. And then you can concentrate on the next idea. The crises of your life are opportunities to move up. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. For as many are the promises of God, in Him they are yes, therefore also through Him is our amen to the glory of God through us. What does this verse tell you? God gives you a promise. Are you giving an amen to His promises? All of His promises are yes. And people go, yeah, all of His promises are yes and amen. No, no. The yes part is God's part. The amen part is our part. As you enter into the promises of God and say, amen, God, so be it in my life. I want those things manifest in my life. Every claim made in faith upon every promise of God results in a yes. You've got a blank space to write that in. Every claim in faith upon every promise of God results in yes. What startles me is how people go, well, sometimes God says no. Read His Bible and show me when He did. Every promise in Him is yes. Now, if you got a no, it's because you were probably not standing on a promise of God, just a desire you had, a want, a wish. And it may be contrary to His word and His will. Someone gave me a book they just wrote, and I began reading it this week, and I had to put it down because it started out, the body of Christ in America must learn to live by the Ten Commandments. So I will drop the author a note. How uninformed can you be? Paul said, the law written in stone is of no pertinence to the newborn believer. We don't have the law of sin and death. We have the law of love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself. God doesn't want you not killing because you're afraid of judgment. God wants you not killing because you love your brother. God doesn't want you afraid to sleep with your neighbor's wife because you'll go to hell. He wants you to not do it because you wouldn't do that to a friend. You wouldn't do it to your God. The law of love is totally different than the law of sin and death. The Redeemer, our Lord, Yeshua said, I give you a new law. What does that mean? The old law is being replaced. And then Paul went on to teach us, if I keep one point of the law, I'm responsible to keep it all. Dear Lord, I love bacon. And under law, I can't eat it. For the Lord, I could give up shrimp, but bacon, I don't know. I didn't pray about that. Bacon was made to be cooked crisp. Amen. The crisper, the better. If it doesn't crunch when you eat it, it's not good bacon. But you've got to be on your guard because there will be people who will try and indoctrinate you with junk. But if you know the word liberates you. It doesn't put you in bondage. Now unto him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, beyond all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Oh, Brother Jim, he had to throw that in there. Yes, he did. If you don't have a promise of God's word, you don't have a prayer. But there are exceeding great and precious promises that pertain to everything that pertains to life and godliness. So there is a promise that covers everything you should want and desire. If a promise doesn't cover it, you've got to look and see if it's a godly request. The blank line. His word in us is working for our benefit and bringing us to his prosperity of mind, of spirit, of body, of finances. Prosperity isn't just money. Because if you had all the money in the world and 30 days to live, what good would the money be? But I want prosperity in every realm of my life and my household. I love it when people come to my house and they walk in and they go, there's such peace in this place. If you entertain God in your house, he'll entertain your guests when they come. The house we just moved out of, someone wanted to look at it. They said to me, the moment we walked in the house, we got an answer to a prayer we had been praying. Why? God's presence was still lingering. I'd moved out, but he hadn't. Do you want God's tangible presence in your life? Then celebrate his promises and watch what he'll do for you. Beloved, I pray in all respects that you may prosper and be in good health. Now here's the kicker again. Just as your soul prospers. Pastor, what does that mean? If my spirit is full of his word, my pockets will be full of his blessings. Because if you don't know his word, you don't know what belongs to you. You don't know what you can walk in. But your new covenant was written to teach you what belongs to you and what position you have in the family. I enjoy God's goodness. Brother Brian, did you have something? If you abide in me, the word abide there means to take up residence. If you decide to make me your home, and my words find a dwelling place in you, you ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. But you're asking according to the word that dwells richly in you. So you can prosper in every way as your soul expands in the scope of the word of the new covenant. You can prosper in every way as your soul expands in the new covenant word of truth, the promises God has given. Number one, in this verse you're instructed, take up residence to live in him. When you live with somebody, you've got to live according to the way they live. Or your guest standing will be terminated. In this house, the lights go out at midnight. If you're not here, the door will be closed. Enjoy sleeping in your car. Well, Pastor, that's not very kind. It's my house. It's my rules. You're my guest. Respect the house. When you take up residence in God, respect the house. Respect the rules. Respect the Lord of the house. Number two, His word must be treasured in our hearts. Do you treasure the word of your new covenant? Or do you read your new covenant like, wouldn't it be wonderful when you dream up on a star? No, those promises are real and you can walk in them. Number three, ask according to the word you treasure. Don't approach God with wild, hairy ideas out of West Field. Approach God based upon His word, and when the two of you agree, you got it. I love living a good life. I love winning over trials and tests and temptations. When I was in the hospital, flat on my back, I'm so glad that some of y'all didn't hear what a visiting minister had to say. He said, I don't know why they don't just let that old man die. But y'all banded together in faith. And I tell you, it does something for you, even when you're in a paralyzed and crippled and immobile state like that, to look over and see Jerry making her round around the halls praying in the Spirit. Yeah. To have Brother Brian, Brother Dame, and others come in and sit by my bedside and read the word of the truth to me. Because we stood together, I stand before you. See, it's your fault. No, it's God's blessings. The blessings of the Lord make rich and add no sorrow. But I want you to know, after failing at dying three times, I'm not going to try it anymore. The word produces, number four, whatever was promised. The word produces whatever was promised. You live in the midst of what you have prayed, what you have confessed, what you have decreed to be true. If your world is a mess, change your confession and start saying it is written. Matthew 7, 7 and 8. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. But again, according to his will, because God will not violate his will to grant you some weird thing. God, I'm just tired of Sister Bucketmouth. I pray she just drops dead. Ain't gonna happen. Love doesn't do that. God, I'm praying that Ruth will give me her car. God's not going to take from her to give to you. Besides, she doesn't give up easy. Ask according to His word, because He only gives good gifts. He only gives good gifts. Brother Jim, God gave me this trial. No, the devil gave you the trial. The Lord gave you His word. You can look all over heaven, you can't find one trial, one test, one curse. If it's not His will there, it's not His will here. Into every life a little rain must fall. Pastor, why do bad things happen to good people? First of all, you don't know how good they are. If you got to sneak in, look in their closet, ain't no telling what hellacious stuff you'd find. So don't assume just because they are pious on Sunday that they're good people. But love them whether they are or not. Don't judge them according to your standard. Judge them according to the Word of God. People say, Pastor Jim, we can't judge. No. Jesus said, don't judge according to your will. But he said, judge with righteous judgment. Righteous judgment is the Word says, and you're... So the Word has already found you guilty. Or the Word says, you're on the right path. It's just you got to press through the valley of the shadow to get to the other side. Why do bad things happen to good people? Because in the world you will have tribulation. It happens to bad people because judgment has fallen upon them. It happens to good people because they're getting a chance to stand on the Word and see Him deliver. The same trial falls on a sinner and a just person. The sinner is getting judgment for their actions and misdeeds. The believer is getting an opportunity to prove in the face of all kinds of trials, tests, and temptations that the Word works. Amen. Don't get strung out because you stumped your toe. Move the dang coffee table or turn the lights on when you're going through there. Seek according to His Word. He only gives good gifts. And if you're seeking a good God, you're going to get good things. Now I want you to notice something here. I know that we are New Testament believers, and our guide for life is the New Testament. But the Old Testament is types and shadows to show us lessons learned in the fire of adversity. It is He who blesses you with success. That's the New American Standard Version. It is He who blesses you with success. Now let's read from the Amplified. 7 days you shall celebrate a feast of the Lord your God in the place which the Lord chooses, because the Lord your God will bless you and all you produce and all the work of your hands, so that you will be altogether, not marginally, not partially, but altogether joyful. Joyful, joyful, we are joyful. If His promise is produced under law, how much more joy will they produce under New Covenant grace? Paul said Moses had a little shadow of God's light. We've got the light unshielded. So if God's promises brought them victory under the law, it'll bring you party time under grace. His word in your mouth, held to in full belief, equals your success. His word changes not. His word fails not. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. Pastor, I don't understand how the Word can do all of these things. You don't have to understand it. You just get a benefit from it. I don't have to understand how speaking His Word and entering into agreement and going amen to that promise of God brings victory in my life. I just know it has continually and continually and continually until you can't tell me the Word doesn't work. When you're facing almost $3 million in bills and you make a stand on my God supplies all of my need and it gets paid. I didn't say written off was a bad debt. I didn't say forgiven is a charity case. I said paid in full. Because our God makes a way where there seems to be no way. I checked both of my pockets. I didn't have $3 million. But I had a promise of God. When the doctors told me, there's no way you can live. There's no way you'll ever walk in. No way you'll ever talk in. I had a promise that said, with His stripes, I was healed. Yes, I would have liked to have seen a manifestation the first day. It took 7 months in the hospital for my manifestation to rise to my confession. But it finally did, and I walked out of the hospital on the very day I told him I would, because my health came up to my confession and I was no longer paralyzed. But through a coma, through 3 open heart surgeries, through paralysis, through rehabilitation, learning to walk and talk again. I mean, it's really an attack on your pride when they've got to teach you how to stand up. But I found if I rolled my legs out of the bed when I finally could and tried to stand up, I fell on the floor. It doesn't take doing that many times to go, I need a better way. And they said, do this. And I said, I can't do that. They said, keep trying. I kept trying. Pretty soon I could do that. And then I could do that. The first time I went into rehab, they gave me a 2-pound weight. And I smirked until I tried to pick it up. Do you know what it feels like to have a little pink 2-pound weight and you can't pick it up? But before long, I was up to the 25 pounds. Before long, I was able to walk without a walker. Before long, I could talk. And I'm still recovering. But possessing the promise is what it's all about. I didn't give up on the second day and go, well, I guess He's just not going to heal me. No, Daddy, Your Word said, with His stripes I was healed. Therefore, healing belongs to me, and I will walk in health. When we received the phone call, and they said, we're going to pay all your bills. Lou was like, is this a joke? No, she didn't say that. She said, really? You're really going to do that? Yes, all your bills will be paid. Well, what about the bills I still have? Send them in, they'll all be paid. And she had been saying to me, how do you know God's going to do it? I said, because I don't see any other way. So the fact that they turned us down and denied us time after time after time, I just kept praising God that it's done. And we walked through that door and celebrated that victory, because if you don't quit, you win as long as you're standing on a promise. Now, some of you in this year are seeing your financial picture turned around. Some of you haven't acted on an idea God gave you. Some of you haven't developed a plan around what He promised you. But if you will take His word, find a way to apply it to your situation, and then celebrate it as done, you can possess the promise. Well, Pastor Jim, I prayed and nothing happened. Well, go home, loser. If you give up that easy, no, having done all to stand, stand on the word and watch it deliver. The blessings of the Lord are overtaking you. You look around and go, well, Pastor, there are just a few of us tonight. Doesn't matter. It only takes a few to light the spark that inspires the masses. When Brother Damon was giving his testimony, I thought about the song Michelle set up with the praise team, taking it to the streets. When Jared was giving his testimony of putting his hands on to help others, I thought, taking it to the streets. Sometime if you're going to see God move and manifest, you're going to have to take it to the streets. You can't hide out in here and pray, oh God, send a blessing. Listen to your spirit man. Say, God, give me an idea, a plan, and you can conquer the world. Did you get anything? Yes. Brother Richard dismisses.
Why don't you go ahead and stand with us? We decree that the word of God that has been spoken this evening is truth and life to us, because it is life and spirit, and it resonates in our spirit. It finds a home in us, and it does not unperform or non-perform. It does what God has sent it to do. He said that His word accomplishes what He sends it to, and we receive the word, we call it ours, we apply it to our life, and we say, praise God for His promises. We call you the blessed of the Lord. You are walking in His abundance. You are walking in His peace, in His joy, in His grace. Go with God and be blessed.